cliffcentral.com.
West Side, nigga. Damn. Boy, you like 98 degrees and I'm 300, nigga. Keep your feet running. I keep when I eat these beef.
This is cliffcentral.com. This is cliffcentral.com.
Yeah, nafuna hamba kongo. Hey, what's up, everybody? You're Maraza Law, a.k.a. Mr. Quan, a.k.a. P-L-I-N-T. And you're listening to the Unplugged Radio Show, 12 to 1 p.m. every single Thursday on Cliff Central. It's too short, like me.
Woo!
That was fire.
You wouldn't even know.
That was fire.
Man, if you guys saw what was going on in the studio. If you guys don't know that joint, you got to go and get it. It is called, it's anime, and the song is called Caroline. These boys are hella fire. They're indie movement, or who, I don't know who they are, but I was put on, and now I am completely in love with that joint. It's too dope. My name
you
is Warren the Poet.
Bro. Yo, yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I was going in, bro. But you know what it is? Talking about being in love with something, we are completely in love with you guys for tuning in every Thursday. You know,
yeah.
You know what it is, man. You guys are listening to Unplugged and In Charge. This is your boy Vaughn the Poet. I am hanging out with obviously the squad of Thunder, with Simpio Petros,
yeah,
and Lesego Mapanga. What's good?
Chilling, man. What's going on?
I'm good, bro. We're just missing Weza today again. Hey, what's happening with Weza? Who's got the lowdown?
I was with Weza about an hour ago.
Oh, yeah,
We were taking charge at the CSIR. It was pretty cool. And he had to go work. You know, Weza is a busy man. Like, he says he's only knocking off at 11 o'clock tonight. He's emceeing all over.
Damn, man. Yeah, especially bro. This time of year. It's a proper...
It's that time to make that money,
yeah,
brother.
Man. It's a proper time to capitalize. I'm talking about capitalizing. How's your capitalist quest going?
Wow, hello, what's up, hey?
First of all,
on holiday.
Yo, first of all, though, guys.
Oh, shades, dog. Oh, no.
As I say, like, if you guys only knew, right, what Lesego looks like right now. We're actually going to put up some pictures on Twitter and on our Snapchat. You guys got to come and check that out. Lesego is wearing some other shades. Shades that look like his future is too bright.
And it's multicolored, you know? Like, I look into his shades and I see my future. Like, it's crazy.
Hello.
It's crazy, dog.
Oh, well, done, but he's looking hella dope, dog. What is the inspiration behind this look, homie?
I think, you know, it's just, you know, at this time of the year, you're always reflecting, right?
Yeah.
Hatch. Woo! Right?
Bars on bars, eh? Yo.
Oh, man.
So, it's, I don't know, it's sick because, you know, like, you know, yesterday I go home, I switch on the TV.
Yeah.
I see Vaughn and Shane there. I'm like, yeah. Oh, okay, yeah, I know those guys. And then I switch that off. And then you go into any other platform, you see Weza, and then you switch that off. You go into another platform, and Simpio is there. You're like, oh, God, yeah. And then you switch that off, and then you try to block out everything, and you go follow Touch. And I mean, you guys just came back from Touch Central, so it's like, goddamn,
what's happening?
And then now we're here, so it's like, you know what?
Yeah, doing your thing.
You know,
yeah, I feel you.
Everybody's complaining about 2016. I'm like, nah, we're nice.
Yeah, we're good.
2016 was a good year for you. Yeah.
I mean, listen, every year must be a good year. Every year must be a good year. Yeah, I don't believe this thing. Oh my gosh, this happened. This external thing happened. Nah, dog. Your life is yours.
Yeah, that's
your life is yours. And I think right now at this point, this joint,
I
mean, it's December now. St. Pete's about to go on like a month holiday.
Dog!
I'm gonna link up with you. I think there's a high probability I'm gonna link up with you in Cape Town though for the 31st.
I'll be there, dog. I'll be ready.
I don't think Cape Town's ready for that.
Yeah, no, we're gonna shut it down. I'm so ready.
We're gonna go there and take back the land. We're starting with the beach though.
Dog! Reflecting, dropping bars, and taking back the land. That's what it's all about, dog.
I hear you. That sounds like a hell of a holiday, bro. It sounds like you guys are going on a mission more than a holiday, but that sounds like it's going to be hella fun. You can send me pictures, tweet me.
Man, I'll see you in Cape Town, Vaughn.
Snapchat.
I'll see you in Cape Town. You don't know where you're ending up yet. I know you'll be in Cape Town, dog.
So, you know what it is, dog.
Yeah, dog.
Yeah, you know what it is. All right, man. So before we start talking a whole lot of shit and forget the reason we actually here, our producer, Spore Kuzi, who seems to not be in the building at the moment, will hang us if we don't respect his content. So shout out to Use Boy, if you're listening. I know you're listening, bro. We're gonna hold it down. Don't worry, everything's cool.
And that's another issue though, like, once we're done with this, you want to go party, you go to Malok and Spore Kuzi.
Oh my,
like, what must happen?
What must happen next?
Like, what must happen?
You know what I'm saying? When you want to go draw money at a bank, Lesego is there.
Hello.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm the grrr sound that you hear when you want to come out.
It's money, the sound of money.
I'm the grrr sound. That's me.
Ah, Lesego, that's hella funny.
That's a lit. it, dog.
That's crazy. But yeah, so that's a phenomenon on its own, how we appear everywhere you go. Another phenomenon which we're going to be speaking about today is the light skin phenomenon, isn't
it? Bruh, it's a deep one.
And especially now in December, you know.
Exactly, I was about to say.
Because everybody wants a yellow bone and the... On the passenger seat. I'm not quite sure what the fascination is, but we're going to get into it.
Yeah, man. I've been thinking about this. When I got the topic, I was like, wow, that's an interesting subject for December. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, bro.
Because I feel like we got a lot of light-skinned listeners. You know what I'm saying? But it's something that's been on my mind ever since yesterday. I've been thinking about it, and it is a little bit of a crazy phenomenon. I wonder what drives people that have a darker skin tone to want to go and bleach and do all those type of things to make themselves, you know, appear lighter. I don't really know if it's something that we'll get to, you know, by the end of the show, but it's definitely something that I think is a representation of maybe a greater problem. I don't know.
And I don't think we'll be able to answer the question on our own. So if you have your views and this whole light skinning thing, please tweet at us. I mean, follow the hashtag Unplugged Radio Show, and then we're going to take it to the next level, because I think this is a conversation we all need to go through. And I've got my personal views, but I want to hear your personal views at the end of the day, because your views are really count here. And I mean, it's not our show alone, but we are in this together, because you know what? We're a tribe, we're a family, we're a unit, and we've got to deal with issues like this, right?
No, 100%, bro. I mean, at the end of the day, like, we live in the society together, right?
Yeah.
So if we've got problems in society, aren't your problems my problems, and, you know, all the problems that we seem to go through ours?
Exactly. And I think that's the thing with life. A lot of people think just because something doesn't affect them, then it's not their problem. I hear a lot of people saying, don't make your problem mine. Guys, the only way we'll move forward is through engagement, hey, man, yo. And solving other people's problems. Life is not about you. It's about living beyond yourself and really making an impact, you know?
Yeah, don't you think that that's a little bit of an old school mentality, that one of don't make your problems mine?
Hey, bruh. Huh? It's real, bro. Like, it's...
even in business, what do you think, Lesejo?
Dude, there's so many just old farts in the world.
Shout
that
out.
Literally just need to be, like, just moved to one side. Just put them in the middle of Oranje Town. Just keep them there. Let them do their own thing. Let's be frank. It's bullshit, right? Yeah. This whole thing that your problem's not my problem. I give an example. Why is it that when you go to like a woman empowerment event, it's just women there?
It's crazy.
Okay. Why?
Okay.
That doesn't make sense. It's everybody's problem.
Yeah.
Because it affects your sister. It affects your mom. It affects your girlfriend. It affects your wife. It affects your daughter.
I hear you.
Women issues are everybody's issues.
Yeah.
Black issues are everybody's issues. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm.
Your friend is black. Your wife might be black. You, hey, man, we're like so integrated right now. Your grandmother might be black. Your daughter might be black. But it's
days,
everybody's
these
problem.
These days, you might be black and you don't even know it.
Hello, what?
And you ain't even know. You know what I'm saying?
So everybody's problem is everybody's problem.
Yeah.
And this whole light skin, I don't know what to call it. It's like a wave. It's like a...
Yeah, it's like a like some sort of fashion or fad.
Yeah. Like, remember back in the day when cornrows were a thing?
Yeah.
And then that died like real quick and became fades.
I had cornrows. Pause.
What?
I can picture him. Oh my gosh.
I was on my Steven Pinner, dog.
Dog.
I was out there, bro. You know.
So while I was busy trying to roll up with the cornrows, Vaughn was doing it at the same time.
You know what I'm saying, bro?
Dog.
And I was killing it, dog. I was killing it.
I'm gonna put up a poll and be like, yo, should we bring the cornrows back for Vaughn?
He'll
be the only guy. And Vaughn will do it. Hey,
I'll pull up, dog. I'll pull up with those cornrows. What you saying, bro?
In a major way.
He'll shut it down in a major way.
And I'll pitch some other ideas to you, dog.
Yes.
But yeah, anyway, so you're saying it. So it is a little bit of an interesting topic when it comes to our sort of the setup in society at the moment. How it's let me explain to you what I thought about, okay?
Yeah.
How proud or how this culture of being black and proud in South Africa has grown tremendously over the last 2 years or so, I'd say, right? Because of the people taking a stand and people really, really fighting for sort of black liberation, which has been needed for so many years.
Yeah.
So it's crazy at the same time that that's happening. And probably people that take part in that same thing end up wanting to bleach their skin lighter.
It's crazy.
Don't you think it's a bit of a contradiction, or am I out of place to say
I think
that?
It is to some degree a contradiction, because you're trying to be somebody that you aren't. And I think that's my biggest problem. Like, I think we need to get to a stage in life where we embrace who we are. Like, it's not, you don't have to be somebody else. I mean, the moment you start comparing yourself to somebody else, I believe, is the moment you forget your worth, your true worth.
But you know, Simbi, if you really think about it, right? For me, I think the biggest problem is when it's institutionalized.
Yeah.
That's where the biggest problem is. And I'll give an example. Pretoria Girls High.
Yeah.
When you go to young black girls and you say that your hair must be straightened, what are you actually saying?
Yeah.
You see, my hair naturally is just not good enough for the dress code. Like,
so I'm not
you.
Worthy. I'm unqualified.
Yeah. I'm unqualified by birth.
Shit.
Yeah, exactly.
By
right?
birth.
Yeah. That really is the problem. I mean, but then what about this? What about this idea? Let's think about this for a second. Imagine a case whereby you go to school and that's how you're treated when they say your hair's unprofessional, you can't write your exams because you have an afro. I mean, which is your natural state of hair.
Or dreadlocks.
Or dreadlocks. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? Easy, relax, white man. Just because you can't grow dreadlocks and you really love listening to Bob Marley and sometimes you think you're free, relax, dog, you know,
sometimes you think you're free.
Yeah, but meanwhile you're a fucking slave to your own damn mind. But yeah. check this out. So like, what about a girl that goes to school and goes through that, but then on the weekend has an appointment to go and bleach her skin?
Do you think that happens?
Because that is
a contradiction in a major way. That's my problem. Because you're fighting for one thing and then you're conforming on another degree, you know?
But now it goes a step further. So it's like we're thinking like this. Is the contradiction because they want to be lighter, which is closer to the actual white skin of Caucasians? Or is the contradiction in the reason behind they'd want to do that? Because I don't think it's a, or is it a problem to alter your skin color because you just really want to be light? Like if you dye your hair, you really want to be blonde. Do you think it's the same, or do you think that only in the South African context do we see it as something that's contradictory? Do you get what I'm getting at? Is it really in its purest form contradictory, or is it just because of our South African context?
Because if you look at it from another angle, just like, I think it's a form of expression, you know? Some people choose to express themselves in that way, bleaching their skin, dyeing their hair, getting a tattoo. Those are different forms of expression on how you view yourself. Now, it brings to point, is it really a contradiction then? Because if a person wants to express themselves in a different way, who are we to say that they're contradicting themselves? You know, I'm caught in between a rock and a hard place right now, because
that's exactly how I feel. That's why I'm trying to ask on Twitter if you guys have any opinion on this. Let us know. Let us know. Unplugged radio show.
Hashtag unplugged radio show. We're ready.
Exactly. We want to hear what you guys have to say, because you know, we can sit here, we can debate these things amongst each other, but I think it's a greater problem that we can discuss with a bigger pool of people that perhaps have different experience in it. Because I mean, me for one, I've never tried to bleach my skin. I think if I tried to bleach my skin, I would start looking like
Bale, Papa.
Yeah, dog.
You'd be white. Yeah. White.
Like the Queen of England.
Yeah, that kind of white, bro.
You're like hella white. but it's interesting, because I think all of us in some way as human beings tend to live contradictory life, in a way. Don't we all have ways about
us? And I think it must exist. I think there must be contradictions within you.
Oh yeah, why?
I think there must, because you know, there's two sides of a coin. Mm-hmm. And if you're gonna keep walking on the right hand side of the road, you never know what's on the left.
Yeah.
So okay. I think there must be. I mean, for example, you're an engineer, and then as soon as you're down, you switch up, you become a creative.
Yeah.
I think this whole thing that, you know, at your right brain or whatever, now you need to go that path. I think that's a fallacy. I think that's rubbish. I think our the very nature of our freedom.
Yeah.
The very nature of our freedom, the benefits of it is to say that you can do so many things.
Yeah.
I think jack of all trades, I think those things exist.
Mm.
And I think there's nothing wrong in waking up one morning and being like, yo, I hate suits. And waking up next week and be like, I love this shit.
Yeah.
Because you grow. You know, you grow, you change, you do different things. You might have been that kid in school with the straight haircut, always needs whatever. Grow up, fast forward 20 years later, you got sleeve of tattoos.
Yeah.
Sounds like a bit like some Pew in the future, bro.
Do you think?
That was a bit deep, man. Like, because I remember the brush cut, the conforming kid, now the creative, trying to express himself. I think I want to add on to that. And really, freedom liberates you to choose. And choice is the most powerful thing. You can choose to contradict yourself. You can choose to follow the straight and narrow. Or you can choose to, like, you know what? Stuff this shit. I'm just going to do what I want right now. You know? That's the beauty about freedom. And I think that's where the contradictions come in, is in the choice. It doesn't matter if you contradict yourself at the same time, because you're being yourself. And all you need to be in this life is yourself. You don't need to be somebody else.
I hear you.
It's crazy, man.
I hear you, because one thing that comes to my mind when you said freedom liberates you to make choice, and choice is powerful.
Yeah.
You know what's probably the most powerful state to live in or position to be in is the power of self-acceptance combined with the power of freedom.
Yeah.
Because imagine being...
That's deep, bro.
You know what I'm saying?
Hey, yo.
You feel me, right?
Yeah.
Imagine Vaughn does these things.
The power... Dog, self-acceptance is like on another level already.
But even Vaughn is like a huge... contradiction, because one would be like, yo, dab, and then he'll drop that bar.
Dog.
And then you're like, okay, what must happen now?
Dog.
It's like, are you a lecturer or are you a rapper? What's going on?
This is deep.
I hear you. And you know, that's a crazy thing to say, because I think that's what our generation is.
Yeah.
I think our generation is made up of multifaceted individuals. I don't think we can be boxed in at the moment.
Like, yeah.
There's nothing stopping you from being a recording artist and an executive at a bank.
Yeah.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying? Why not? Because I think the world has become so connected that you could almost live in two places at once and experience what people are experiencing to a degree in London while you're in South Africa because of the internet. So I think that subconsciously has made us believe that we can be more than just one thing in our lives.
Yeah.
We don't need to just be a lawyer. We can also be someone who creates merchandise and sells a clothing brand.
Exactly. You can be who you want to be.
You can be all these things you want to be. And I think that's what the world has allowed us to do. But coming back to this phenomenon of light, this desire to be of a light skin, and bleaching and that type of thing, don't you think that what might be lacking in that sense? And I don't know if I'm stepping over the line here, but do you think it's self acceptance?
Yeah, see, bro, because we live in a world now. I'm thinking we live in a world where we're trying to be what people want us to be a lot of the time. A lot of people try and conform to the opinions of people and allow the opinions of others to define and dictate their destiny. Self-acceptance, on the other hand, is really, you like, stuff this shit, I'm gonna be who I am.
That's what it feels like. Yeah.
So if I really think about it, right, you know, as much as Vaughn says, we're exposed to so much, right? I think it's a double-edged sword. I think there's a very reason why. Okay, first things first, I do think self-acceptance is a problem. One.
Yeah.
Okay.
Two, I think it's amplified because the world is so much smaller.
Yeah.
Because now, right, I could be Vaughn and Vaughn could be like, yo, yeah, I'm happy with myself. And as soon as he goes on Instagram, he sees another white guy with like an 8-pack.
Dog.
And like 50,000 likes, and it's like, I need that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I need that. And then you go somewhere else. I mean, I can almost think about like as a black child, like living in 2016 in high school, Beyonce's in your face 24/7. Models are in your face 24/7 on Instagram. Sure. Fake lives on Instagram are in your face 24/7.
Dog.
So now dudes are trying to make money any way possible. They're trying to skip so many phases.
Yeah.
They don't even know who themselves are. People know more about other people than they know about themselves.
There we go. And that's true. That's why self-acceptance is such a problem, because you don't know who you are. The biggest problem we have is that we don't know who we are in this lifetime, because we're so exposed to so much that's out there that we never take time out and just unplug ourselves, switch off, and go offline and just realize, okay, this is who I am, this is what I'm passionate about, and this is what I want to do with my life. Most people see another person's life and they say, no, I want to do that. I want to do what so-and-so is doing, and not really realizing that, hey, man, I'm good at this. Why don't I do that?
So let me switch it up, right?
Yeah.
So and here's another thing, and I guess this is the pressure. You're exposed to all these things 24/7, right? And obviously, you know, when you pursue for something, you become better.
Yeah.
Once I disconnect for a week, it almost feels as though, I haven't done nothing for a week.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because, I mean, the world is moving so much quicker.
Yeah.
So now my question is, if there's a Gauchelo in Randburg, you know, he doesn't quite know where he wants to go, what he wants to do. He has all this information overload, but he doesn't want to switch off, because as soon as he switches off, I mean, a week in 2016 is like equivalent to a year, man. People could like move straight past you.
Okay, so what I want to ask you, were you always meant to conform and fit and keep up with the pace of the world? Because just because the world is going at 120 kilometers an hour, does it mean if you're going at 20 kilometers for this week, you're not making progress? Because let's say you're going at 20 kilometers this week, and then next week you're going at 300 kilometers an hour because you found yourself. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You make more progress sometimes by just really taking a step back and taking time out and really figuring things out, isolated from the world. Because what is progress at the end of the day? Now that's another question, because is progress really watching what the world is doing and then measuring yourself according to the world?
Yeah.
Or is it really just looking at yourself and really realizing what you want and going for what you want? And when you've achieved what you want, you've made progress.
I feel you. I think, you know, one thing that I've been, playing with in my mind is, you know, this idea of what success looks like.
Yeah.
And this idea of what, you know, what life should look like and whatever the case may be. I think there's so many different faces of success these days, you know. And I think, the thing that when somebody asked me, what's my utopia?
Yeah.
Someone said to me, Vaughn, what's your utopia? And I said to myself, well, I answered, I said, I don't think my utopia is a specific title, a specific number, a specific house or a specific car, a specific image. I think my utopia is being able to go to sleep at night knowing that I reached the potential that only I know in my heart that I have.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because sometimes, you know, people's support and people's words of encouragement and their belief in you is great. It's a great thing. It takes you further. But it's also coming from, it's also not, they don't have the full grasp of what you're capable of besides yourself, right? Yeah. So don't you think being able to go to sleep at night knowing that I hit that level is a sense of utopia or a sense of success?
It is utopia.
To me, I feel like that is what success looks like to me.
And even if people look at your life and say, yo, this guy is not really successful, he's not making that money, it's not about the money. As long as you have peace in your heart, dog, and as long as you're doing what you want to do, that is utopia. Because you don't need to conform to somebody else's ideal view of utopia. That's the problem.
It's true.
Do you know, I just realized in 2016, there are no rules.
Yeah.
And it's such a tough thing for everyone to cross their heads around. It's a deep question. What is utopia? For some people is, I'm happy with myself. I did well today. For some people it might be, I want to make $200 billion.
Yeah, but that's you.
And you know that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, and they have a measuring yardstick, and the yardstick is income, right?
Mm-hmm.
You might find that with Cristiano Ronaldo, it's not even about the money. It's how many goals can I score in a season?
Yeah.
Like, forget what you pay me.
Yeah.
Like Pogba's getting paid more. That's fine.
Yeah.
I don't care about me. How many goals can I score in a season?
Yeah.
So that might be his utopia. Somebody else might be something completely different. And I guess it's so tough for us to even have rules of engagement because everyone's rules are different.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's like we're all on this pitch, but one person's playing basketball, the other one's playing rugby, the other one's playing netball, the other one's playing baseball.
But we're all sportsmen.
Pause.
You feel me? And I think you're 100% right, bro. And I think it becomes a little difficult to try and outline what is right and what is wrong, you know, because who decided what is normal? But, you know, we're going to carry on this conversation after the break. I think not only our voices, but I think we've been standing up, we've been throwing our fists in the air, we've been dancing like strippers, dab on that. But we're gonna be back after this break. And this is somebody that definitely challenges the norm, definitely took his sort of sound into his own hands and made it happen for himself. This is OK Malumi Cool Cat, 100K Makaset. Mama's best now, yes, yeah, shop a why
This is CliffCentral.com.
Iskupu, yours ain't banging like mine, no. Yo, what's up, guys? It's your girl, Gigi LeMaine, and you're tuned into The Unplugged Radio Show on Thursdays right here on Cliff Central from 12 to 1 p.m., baby. Are you ready?
I'm definitely ready. I'm thinking back to the time we had Gigi in studio. Yo, that was a session, bro.
Gigi got some energy.
Yeah.
Shout out to Gigi LeMaine. If you guys just tuned in, that was OK Malumi Cool Cat with 100K Makaset. What a dope song. What a dope video. I really love the creativity of this guy. He's doing good things, bro. Man. Shout out to Cool Cat. He's holding it down for all of us out the box thinkers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if you guys just joined, we've been talking about this phenomenon of sort of light skin trend where people are trying to bleach their skin to try and sort of appear lighter, obviously. And we've been talking about contradictions amongst the youth and the way we live and the way we think. I just got a voice note from someone in our WhatsApp group. Her name is Sade. So shout out to Sade for the voice note. She's talking about a whole lot of stuff to do with Steve Biko and the studies and how far this actually goes.
Yeah.
And it seems to be a very deep psychological problem that's been installed. Well, one of the things I picked up from her voice note while I was quickly listening to it while at the same time dancing to Makaset. You know what I'm saying? Voice to everything. I can do it all, baby. I can do it all. You know, so one thing she said was that when white people took the land away from black people.
Yeah.
It wasn't only to do that. It was also to dehumanize black people to the extent that one day, should they want to take the land back, they won't have the self-belief or the capability to do so.
Yeah.
So it's a very deeply entrenched thing, which then says, you know, which makes whiteness look like beauty and whiteness look like success, which then creates this desire to aspire to want to be of that skin tone or of that niche. So it seems like a very deep conversation. But
and it's a global problem, eh, Young?
Absolutely. But I mean, racism is a global problem.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, it's colonialization and sort of slavery and stuff has been was a global problem for hundreds of years. So the question lies in 2016. Oh, actually, 2016 has been a very crazy year. And
yeah.
If you guys don't know, now you're going to know that Simpiwe, this is his last show.
Yeah.
Simpiwe is about a jet off for December to take it easy.
Yeah. It's been a year.
You know what I'm saying? So he's about a kick push. So you'll probably be hanging out with the leftovers, which is probably going to be me and Lesejo, maybe. I don't know what Lesejo's plans are, but I'm out here, bro. I'm out here, right? You guys will have me, even if it's just me talking shit for an hour. But so what I was getting at here is that 2016 has been a crazy year, I think, for all of us. I mean,
yeah.
I just see people, you know, the memes are out there saying the 2016 must end and whatnot. But I think the one thing I've learned this year, as an overarching lesson of society,
yeah,
is that number one, is which has always been my understanding, is that we are very multifaceted. Okay.
Yeah.
But the other thing is that this problem of racism has really and I think speedily been adapted by a younger white youth than ever before. I think the attention that young black people have brought to the forefront with the marches and with the social media activity that's taken place this year, you know, I think that there have been a lot of white people who have, in inverted commas, become woke to some degree, which is, I think, a big step in the right direction as a nation. It kind of, you know, as much as I'm always bashing white people 90% of my life, I think I got to give you white people a little bit of credit. I'm going to give you some credit.
I want to cut you there for a bit, bro. I'm thinking back to March last year, bro, when we were still speaking at schools and stuff like that. We were speaking at the University of Pretoria, Mamelodi campus, and I was there with Vaughn and Weza. I remember Vaughn and Weza were there. Vaughn, do you remember what you said to the white kids in class? I think there were like four or five white kids.
Yeah.
But you shut them down, bro. I'm like, yo.
I said, hey, yo, white guys, why are you guys sitting in the back in the corner all together?
Yeah.
That's the problem. I said, that's the problem. Why are you guys in university together, but you sit in your cliques? That's the problem.
Yeah.
Because it's like an example of us all being South African, but having nothing to do with each other
when
it comes to living space and socializing. I hate going to clubs that are only white, that are only black. Like, come on. Yeah. Like, you know what I've realized, though, and this is the one thing I bash white people on, and I'm going to say it loud and proud, baby. You can take it from me, Vaughn the Poet. Quote me, right? I say, whenever there's a new place that opens, okay, a new club, we never really know who's going to turn up there as the demographic.
Yeah,
because it could be in Sandton. Let's say it's in Sandton.
Yeah.
Okay? The music will tend to dictate that, you know, to a degree. But let's say a new place opens. I know that this is one thing I've seen, right? If it's a predominantly white place, right? And on that day, there was quite a substantial amount of black guys too, or black people too,
at the same
venue. I guarantee you that the black people will still go back to that place the next weekend.
Yeah.
They ain't fazed.
Yeah.
They ain't worried. They're out here.
They're
like,
ready.
Hey, it's cool, man. It's cool. Like, most of the time.
Yeah.
But flip that around, let a smaller amount of white people go to a club which is predominantly black.
Yeah.
You ain't gonna find those white people the next weekend, dog. Hardly.
Yeah. They be, you know, out.
Yeah. Because it's a weird thing that they've created. They're not even aware of it all the time.
Yeah.
Right? I'm talking specifically a slightly older generation. Our generation, shit, bro. If I see a black club, I'm like, yo, I'm at home.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But like, I don't know, you guys can tell me. So this is what I was thinking.
Yeah.
I was thinking, haven't white people limited themselves to a degree?
I can speak on this topic because, I mean, in high school and all that, I had more white friends than black friends. You know, it's quite interesting how things have changed. And it always seems like that, you know. I'll be chilling with my friends and all of that. We'd be chilled. They're like, no, Simpiwe, you're different. Like, what does that mean, dog? I'm black, you know?
And we'd go to a club where it's just white people, they'll be fine.
Yeah.
But then when we go to a black club or something, then only like one of my friends would come with, you know? And it was always very interesting to observe this, because you are right, they have limited themselves because they don't want to expose themselves to certain things. They don't want to gain understanding to certain environments. And if you don't understand and have understanding, how will you be able to engage in moving forward?
Yeah, man, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking it's like, inadvertently, you've kind of tried to place yourselves as superior, but at the same time, you've robbed yourself of such rich experience.
Yeah.
To the deepest level. And it's not even... It's everywhere.
Yeah.
It's in university. It's in corporate.
Yeah.
It's in all levels of education. It's everywhere. And I think the excuse... So, I mean, I presented a culture deck to a certain company.
Okay.
And one of the guys, and it was an older chap, you know, and I was explaining why millennials are millennials.
Yeah.
And the basic message was, guys, as millennials, we have punished universities because they won't listen.
Mm.
We have, you know, with fees must fall and everything.
Yeah.
We have punished government with the local elections because they're not doing their job.
Yeah.
I'm like, our very next target is corporate. And it's our very next target because it's the one place where people think that they sheltered.
They really are.
And I'm like, listen here. Those people there at union buildings burning down ties and stuff, saying fees must fall.
Yeah.
They're not staying there. You're employing them every year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, we're already here.
Plus Julius, dog, he said he's gonna come to the corporate.
It has to.
It's coming, dog.
But the thing is, you know, we need to be an integrated society.
Yeah.
And one of the guys that I asked, I mean, there was one ESCO panel which had like one black person, like five white guys. And I'm like, why does this look this way?
Mm.
It's been 20 years. Why does it look this way?
Mm.
And people always have this perception of, you know what? Apartheid happened 20 years ago. You as millennials, you know, it didn't affect you. And I'm like, hold up. You see, that's the problem.
Mm.
Privilege harbors ignorance.
Yeah. Straight up.
You didn't even ask me if it affects me. You don't know.
You don't know.
You're not from me. You're not from where I'm from.
Yeah. Straight up.
You don't know.
Yeah.
What you know?
So you gotta, you know, you gotta ask some questions instead of making assumptions.
Mm.
So I think that's the biggest problem with privilege. It harbors ignorance.
Mm. That's the gospel, bro.
Dog.
That's the gospel.
Lesego out here preaching and shit. Dog,
damn.
It's deep.
Lesego chapter 2, verse 3.
Hello.
You feel
what?
Me? Yeah, include that. King James. You listening?
I'm gonna change my, it won't be Nonk, it'll be Almal.
Hey, Almal. That's fire. But yeah, talking about corporates though, and talking about this this thing, I was thinking about this now, right? It's a little bit of a lift turn.
Yeah.
Imagine you're chilling, right?
Yeah.
You work at let's give a corporate. You work at Alexander Forbes. Don't know why I thought of that name. Right? So you're chilling at Alexander Forbes. You're rocking back in your chair, you know. You're swinging. Just picture it, you're swinging.
Yeah.
You know, you work across a girl called Mandy. Right?
Yeah.
And Mandy is a beautiful African girl. Beautiful African girl, but like, she's got a nice afro, you know, nice body, you know, that hourglass body. Hey. You feel me? And you're chilling, and Mandy always comes in, and you're always talking to Mandy, you're always having a good time, you know, she keeps you entertained during the course of the day, you make jokes, the whole lot. And then one day you're chilling, and you kind of rock back in your chair, and you get an email, so you swing to the side, and you kind of face Mandy's desk. And Mandy looks 10 shades lighter than she was before.
Shit.
What is the first thing you think?
Who is that? Who is that?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I've been trying to think what I would actually think
if
I knew someone who had bleached their skin 10 shades lighter than they were before. I think a lot of the time people see themselves as worse than people see them.
Yeah.
Or as uglier, or as fatter, or as, you know, whatever you want to call it.
Mm.
Sometimes aren't we our own worst enemy? And our reason for bleaching is maybe because we think it is an idea of beauty.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, when the actual people that have been with you and looking at you and thinking, you don't even know what they're thinking, they might be thinking the most beautiful girl they've ever seen.
Yeah.
Dog.
And then you just turn around and Mandy's looking like Tracy.
Dog.
God damn.
Late.
You know, it's conditioning, bro, and it's so sad.
Yo, bro.
Because if you look at any other billboard of a model or whatever, you go to Edgar's,
you go to Woolworths,
you know, the perception of beauty is exactly that. That's the problem.
Dog.
That is the problem. Because the other day I saw something that said, Google sexy white moms. So I googled sexy white moms. Yeah. And I saw some sexy white moms. Yeah. I think the most provocative thing I saw was Kim Kardashian in a swimsuit with her, like humongous ass sticking out. Right? I was like, I'm gonna Google you a little later too. but then they said, but then Google sexy black moms.
Yeah.
Oh my word! What yeah. I saw.
I'm about to do that now.
But hold on, I'm gonna get to the end of the story before you do that, right? What I saw and what a whole lot of people saw, and I saw them commenting on Facebook, it was pictures of porn, bro. It was like just black old woman in like serious hardcore porn. Yeah, like their vaginas open, like very nasty stuff, right? And then it was like a whole trending thing on Twitter for a while, bro. People were going on. Then someone commented on the same thread I was on and said they've just changed the results. So I went and did it again, and they changed what came up for sexy black into like a more acceptable one.
What?
Bro,
institutionalized.
Dude.
That is coding. Somebody put that code in there.
Facts. Because I know how search engines work.
Yeah.
So search engines pick up keywords related to what you searched. So whatever they feel is most relevant to show you according to your keyword, they show you. So whatever the algorithm deems relevant online, they show. So Google obviously caught trend of this thing.
Yeah.
Or whoever got caught trying,
and they changed
and they went and changed the results. Because I think if you Google it now, it's a little bit more acceptable. It's almost in line with what the white one is. But for so many years before people found that, it was perceived as like that's what black
that's
sexy
moms.
That's
institutional racism, like dude, straight up.
That's the biggest problem.
That's
and
crazy.
That's why you gotta attack, you know, the monopolies.
Because they're brainwashing
and bring
us.
Bring them to their knees.
That's crazy. They're brainwashing us like low key brainwashing us, like undercover brainwashing.
My
you know?
Boy.
You.
A couple of months ago, there was a certain actually fuck them, was NetBank, right? Fuck you guys, I don't know why.
Oh shit! Oh shit!
I don't know, I'm trying to be politically correct with these guys. Fuck them. Like, NetBank put out a post, right, on Twitter. And they were like, professional banking, you know? Come get
I
a
remember
professional
the
bank.
Suite, yeah.
You remember it? And then on the picture, there was a white guy, an Indian guy, a Chinese guy. There was actually a couple of white. Maybe it was like five people.
Yeah. No black guys.
No black guys.
And I tweeted, I'm like, excuse me, are you trying to say that black people are not professionals?
They said, I remember the tweet.
Yeah,
I remember
are
it.
Are you trying to say there's no black engineer, there's no black CA, there's no black doctor? Is that what you're trying to say? Oh, and they gave me some sobby stupid, I'm so sorry, we'll take this down. Relax. It was an oversight. No, but you see, my problem is, this is the bullshit thing. Someone signed off on that.
Of course.
Exactly.
Someone signed off and said, yes, that makes sense.
Who's that guy? And it becomes a little bit more scary when that person could have signed off on it completely ignorant to the fact there was an absent black person.
Yeah.
Do you
that's
know what
scary,
I mean?
And
bro.
You know why? Because where he lives, there's just white people. Where he works, there's just
where
white people
eats,
in his office.
Just white
where
people.
He just eats, it's just white people.
And the only time he sees a black person is at the corner, at the robot, where he's begging.
Yes.
Shit, man.
You see, now this is the problem, guys. I believe that the solution to Mandy not wanting to look like Tracy that works at Alexander Forbes, is rooted in how we integrate our children.
Yeah.
Right?
From a grassroots level.
Yes.
Yeah.
And also stop. One thing I've learned in my life, bro, personally, is to stop assigning beauty to what is your preference.
Yeah.
White
that's
color.
Deep.
You feel me?
Exactly.
People can be beautiful even though it's not your taste or your preference.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So like stop making it seem like the only beautiful thing is a Latin girl or a white girl or a black girl. No, people are beautiful. People can be beautiful from many different races and cultures. Your beauty is bigger than your taste.
So basically, stop assigning a skin color to beauty.
Absolutely. Anything. Stop assigning anything to beauty, bro. Yeah. Because beauty can exist. Beauty is bigger than your taste.
Exactly.
Speaking of beauty, a couple of months back on this very show,
Vaughn
says something. He's like, you know what? I don't know what we're talking about. We're talking some rubbish. They're like, how do you like, what's your type? You know?
Yeah.
And Vaughn's like, nah. Like, I don't have a type. I like my woman. Like, I like my art. They gotta be interesting.
Mm.
Oh.
Oof.
And ever since that day, like, I literally understood you.
Yeah, you feel
there's
me.
There's some girls where, listen, she looks nothing like Beyonce.
Yeah.
But you just can't get your. You just can't. Move your eyes off because she's so interesting. She's so unique.
I love that.
She's so. There's this one model that has, slight albinism.
Yeah,
on her face.
I know.
I don't
she's
know that,
beautiful.
That
dog.
Model.
Yo.
Listen, biggest flame I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, you saw the girl with like the white patches?
Yeah, with the white patches.
Oh, she is fire, bro.
She's devastation, dog. That's the devastation that I'm talking about. Oh my gosh.
But what you pull up at an India function like that?
Yeah.
You can relax, though. CEO, is the execs. They're gonna talk about that bonus. My G, they're gonna say, damn, this boy's winning.
Dog.
This boy's winning. This boy hold down the meeting room.
Hello.
He's holding down that flame.
Can I just declare and prophesy for a moment that each and every one of us deserves devastation, so never settle until you find your devastation, because it's up to you to find that devastation.
I'm going to tell you a story now.
Yeah, it's a real thing. It's a real thing. Never worry. She is out there. He is out there. Yeah. Don't settle. Don't settle.
That's also something that I think has been an interesting thing in 2016.
Hello.
This other approach to relationships.
Yo.
It's been crazy, dog.
Bro, I mean, like,
yo.
At that time, Mandy, who walked into the office, who was 10 shades lighter, you know what I'm saying? That time, she's everything you thought was beautiful. She's everything, you know? Now she's like a lot lighter, so you're a bit shocked.
Yeah.
So then you think, let me go and talk to Mandy.
Yeah.
Right? Let me go find out what's up. So you go and you sit down with Mandy at lunch and you're sharing your sandwiches, but you don't really ask, like, you're a lot lighter. You just kind of like, so then you get to the point where, you know, you get it out of her, and she ends up telling you, nah, I kind of got my skin bleached because, you know, this guy I'm seeing.
Yeah.
And then you find out that the guy she's seeing is in a long-term relationship.
Imagine.
So it's now Mandy's a side chick.
Yeah.
Right? But Mandy's winning. Mandy's killing it.
Yeah.
Mandy isn't thirsty.
Yeah.
Mandy's just comfortable being a side chick. Right?
Yeah.
That's something that has developed in 2016 tenfold.
Yeah. I'll never forget a few weeks ago, Vaughn said, you know, I think in 2015, side chick scored a last minute goal to take the win against main chicks.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, yeah. Side chick's got the last sneak in. Yeah. Last minute. God. 2016 winners.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something that I think we kind of all aware of, but it's something we don't always openly talk about. How
What do you think that stems from, though? I think that is
the question.
Sure.
but if you really think about it, I mean, when we had Tessa Love here, right?
Ooh, yeah.
Ooh, I mean, she broke it down.
Yo,
and one of the things that she said was, like, it was so brutal. It was like a millennial millennial statement. She's like, listen, if as long as me and that guy are happy, right?
Yeah.
How we define a relationship has nothing to do with you. Because when we go home together and we're happy.
She did say that.
She really
so the thing is, if a side chick, if that's her preference, you know, you look at some girls that are like, you know, I only want Vaughn on the weekends. During the week, I just want to do my thing. And you know what? That's the thing. There is no more right or wrong.
Yeah, so I want to bring up a conversation we had with Gigi. The era of the side nigga is on the come up.
Hello, what?
Lesego, would you be a side nigga?
I think my ego would take it.
Dog. I can't do it. Like...
I mean, you just said, I can't stop laughing. I'm like, what?
Side?
Nah.
Like, I reflected on that day when she said that. I'm like, but wait, could I do that? Like, could I be like a side nigga?
But I thought about it. I was like, yo, bro, I think it depends on the girl to a degree. Like, if she is too much.
But you always want more, dog.
That's what I was about to say. I think guys like us specifically, we kind of like, we want the whole thing.
Dog.
No, we're not trying to, you know what I mean?
I'm not trying to just get a piece.
Easy. It's too easy to get like a piece somewhere else.
Yeah, dog.
Yeah.
So I think from our perspective, from a guy's point of view, I would never do that simply because I know who I am. I know what I deserve, dog. And I'm not going to settle until I get what I deserve.
Mm.
So... it's all up to you at the end of the day, but you got to make the decision for yourself. I know I could never, never, ever, even for the most sexiest woman in the world, be a side nigga because, nah, dog, I want the whole design.
Yeah,
like, I want devastation, the whole design.
I hear you, dog. And I think it's, bro, it's been like, it's been an insanely complex, insanely like, how do I say this, man? Like, mind fucking year 2016,
dog,
right? Because I really feel like there's a there's a turn in the tides here. Like, you know, cultures are shifting.
In the biggest way.
You know what I mean, right?
Yeah.
And I'm so curious to see what 2017 brings. And I'm so curious to see what just next week brings, the way things
are moving. 2016 is not over yet. And something's bound to happen. I saw a tweet. Yeah. Like, I remember saying that I signed out of 2016. Because, yeah, Trump won. I was like, nah, it's a wrap. Then there was Doom Prophet.
You've even got the 2017 haircut, though.
Dog, hello. I'm so ready.
You guys have got to go check out St. Peter's haircut on his social media, man.
I'm the most ready for 2017. But there's something that's bound to happen within the next 3 weeks that will just shut down 2016.
It's December, boss. Come on.
Chassis, dog.
It's about to get it's not gonna make sense.
Yeah. Dude, and speaking about unexplainable things, like us not having a response to Mandy when she came into the office 10 shades lighter.
Yo.
What about this phenomenon of December?
Hey, Baba.
And what it brings.
Most people
see December as like the month to celebrate their year. Like, they worked hard this year, they want to go in.
Yes.
Right? And then they start 2017.
On the lowest note, bro.
On the lowest note.
Finding yourself that when you log into your app and it says you qualify for a pre and a loan.
Yeah, I know. FNB
loan. FNB hit me with that thing every time. I'm like, skip that.
I'm not involved
But come January, I know some homeboys out there still know that, hey, January 6 to about 12, hey, people are still going in.
Dog.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's still festive.
Yeah.
So now, where's that bottle of Hennessy coming from, homie?
Yo, dog.
Where's that sushi date coming from, dog? That F&B loan, baby. And then it's tough. So I don't know, man. It's an interesting phenomenon as well, right? This December.
It is an interesting phenomenon. People go all out in December. I personally believe that December is not really a time for that. It's all good to have good times, and we definitely do the most and have good times. But I always take December and the end of November as a time to reflect and prepare for the next year, because, hey, bro, I want to start running hard from January 1st, you know?
Momentum, baby.
Yeah, you got to keep that momentum alive. And it's all about balance at the end of the day. You could have the best time of your life in December, but still be focused and be prepared for the next year, because January 2017 doesn't start on the 1st of January. To me, it starts at the end of November, beginning of December.
I'm going
to
cut you right there. Something we haven't done in a very long time.
Tell me what it is.
Motivational Minutes. Seeing that it's St. Pure's last day in radio,
hey,
right?
Damn.
Oh, it's
snap.
Only fitting, right?
Okay.
To leave the guys with the biggest bang.
Okay.
Oh, and really just set the tone to be like, yo, listen, even though you don't hear me, yo, this is what's really happening.
Right. Right. I love it when Sapir does this, man. He stands up, he goes in. It's like the president.
Out. Yeah.
Yo, this is what we're gonna do, right? When you hear the Kurt Angle theme song come in, right?
Yeah.
You are not in your mom's lounge. This is not WrestleMania. This is Motivation Minute. This is Sapir Petros. We're gonna treat this like a song with this thing, and then we're gonna hit you up with the closing remarks.
Ooh, yeah. So I got a little bit of something to tell you. Let's just get the volume right. Just tone down the volume a bit. Let's get the volume down a bit. Alright, let's do this. You know what, you might have looked at 2016 and thought that you failed. No, I'm here to tell you that you haven't failed. You're still here, you're still alive, and you've made that progress. You gotta realize that identity is everything. It all starts with you. It's time to get rid of the fact that you think that somebody owes you something. Entitlement is the crutch that will cripple an entire generation. I'm here to tell you today that you have to take charge of your life. You gotta take ownership of who you are. And I'm here to tell you straight up that the world tells you to be like everybody else. But what the world needs is for you not even to be different, but to be yourself. You see, your identity is necessity for your prosperity. And from it, you will have the revelation that you are the one that you've been waiting for to change everything in your life. So it's all up to you. Take charge, inspire change, and create the future. Because you know what? The future isn't a place that we're going to. It's one that we are creating. The parts aren't found, but made. And the activity of making changes both the maker and the destination. You decide the outcome. Go out there and leave your mark.
This is CliffCentral.com.
Hey, it's Tessa Tala, and you're listening to the Unplugged Radio Show on CliffCentral.com.
Ooh. I gotta get some water. That was real.
Woo!
You were never ready.
Some fire for your ass. Shout out to Sampio Petros, man. Shout out to you guys for hanging out with us, you know, every single Thursday. We really appreciate the support. We really appreciate the engagement. You know, this thing means a whole lot to us. We've been doing this for about 2 years now,
yeah,
trying to build
man.
A brand, trying to push the movement, trying to shift the culture. we don't only do it on radio, we do it in our private lives too. So follow us on Twitter at our individual handles. You can find me at V_TheEverything. You can find Simpiwe at Simpiwe Petros and Lesego Mapanga at LSG_Mapanga. You know what it is. So you can hit us up there. And also follow our radio show, man, at unplugged_ZA.
Yeah.
And use the hashtag unplugged radio show to engage in conversation with us. And then don't forget to follow the most revolutionary station, the best radio station in Africa.
Yeah.
At cliffcentral.com. Yeah, man, that's us for the day. We have covered so much.
Yeah.
Man, we had a great conversation. We really love talking about things that, most people don't really want to speak about.
Yeah.
So that's the point of living unplugged. Sim, you got any last words for us before you head off?
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the end of it for me. Until 2017, keep on flourishing, keep on being you, and always remember that it's always up to you. It's been great, man. Like, 2016 has been an amazing year, a year of great risks and really running harder than ever before. 2017 is the year of the blow up. We are exploding and multiplying in every area of our lives. We're not holding back.
Shout out. And when you head out, bro, just a quick one. When you head out, guys, you're not going to completely miss Simpiwe Petros. I'm going to try and get him on a few calls.
Yeah,
you're
going to
tell us what you're doing out there.
Yeah, always, bro.
You know, if you see Mandy out there, hey.
Oh, shout out.
And remember, yo, and remember, the devil is a liar. CliffCentral.com.